Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our Series 4. For far too long, the church has been known what they are against. We want to be known what we are for, and we are for you, our community, and the world. I hope you enjoy the message.
Have you ever had someone who is really for you? I'm not talking about someone who will support you or assist you or help you. We all have that. Those people come and go in our lives. But have you ever had someone who is really for you? Here's what I mean by that. They're willing to leverage everything that they are and everything that they have for your good. You ever have anybody who's really for you? They're not for you because you have the same goals or you have the same name or you like the same things. They're just for you. If you have, you know that that's an incredible feeling. There's nothing like having someone who is for you, that's willing to leverage who they are and leverage all of their resources for you. But chances are, most of us here today have never had anybody like that. We've had people who will support us. We'll have people who will assist us and help us, but really, truly be for us and not be threatened by that and can get themselves out of the way and not look for anything in return? Probably not. But I want to introduce you to someone who is. His name is Jesus. He is for you. And he wants to leverage all that he is and all that he has for your good. Here's how Paul states it. Paul says, if God, if Jesus, they're the same by the way, if God is for us, who can be against us? And what he's talking about here, he's not asking a question as if we should say, I really don't know if God is for me. If God is really for me, then maybe I should do this or maybe I should go there. No, basically, he's making an emphatic statement. He's making a statement. He is saying, if God is for us, and he is, then who on earth can be against us? Now, how do you know when this has gotten from your head to your heart? You become for other people. That's the quickest and fastest way to really know if you believe what Paul said, that God is for you. Because once you and I experience this and we realize that God is for us, that he's leveraging everything that he has and everything he is for your good and for my good, then what happens is there's an automatic thing that begins to happen in our life, and that is this: we become for other people. We become for other people. We don't pick and choose who we're for and who we're against. We don't pick and choose a group and we say, we love them, but I'm not for sure about them. No, what happens is when you know that God is for you, you are for all people. Now, Jesus was talking to a group of people and they got in this discussion. And just like you and me, okay, people are people, they were looking for loopholes of where they could say, well, I'm for this person, but I'm not for sure if I'm for this other group. And Jesus found himself in a conversation, and they were engaged. And with one single question, Jesus took away all of their excuses for not being for people. Jesus took away all of their excuses for not loving everyone. And the writer Luke records it, and I encourage you to follow along in your note-taking guide. And I just want to walk us through this story because Jesus, with one single question, eliminates every excuse that I have, that you have, and that they had in their day. Let's look at it. Here's what Luke writes. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He was trying to trap him. He was trying to corner him. They always did this because they were looking for loopholes. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Wow. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus being wise, okay, guess what he does? He answers his question with a question. You know, we have a tendency to make statements. But we get further with people when we just ask questions. And here's what Jesus said. He says, you're the expert in the law. You know. And so here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, what is written in the law? You're the expert. You're very knowledgeable. How do you read it? How do you understand it? How have you been taught? The lawyer said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And everybody in the crowd was doing this. He aced it. He got it. You know, that's kind of what we do, right? We bebop our head, all right? Even though we may not be saying yes in our heart, we're saying outwardly, publicly, I agree. But what we have to understand is, just a little bit before this, Jesus was with this same group, and they were having a Q&A time. And they asked Jesus another question. The question that they asked Jesus was, what is the greatest commandment? Because there were 670 some odd commandments. And they ask him, what is the greatest commandment? Basically saying, what really makes God happy? What really makes God smile? What's God's number one goal? And Jesus answered the question exactly how he was raised. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And then he added this, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Now, we don't get this today, because when Jesus added this last part, okay, he shocked people. Matter of fact, he wrecked their world. You know why? Because he was messing with their tradition. He was going against the grain. It was a huge paradigm shift because a good Jew only thought about a relationship that was vertical with God. And that's why they would say, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And now saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And this comes from the book of Leviticus, okay? And here's what the writer says in the book of Leviticus. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. Catch that. Among who? Your people, your kind, okay, your group. But love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Among your people. For I am the Lord. Wow. And so what we have to understand here is for a Jew, a neighbor was another Jewish person. It was another Jewish family, and everybody knew this. And now this lawyer is in this exchange, he's in this conversation with Jesus, and he thinks, I've found a way to show Jesus up. I'm going to let him know, I know the scripture. I'm the expert in the law. And so he even puts that tagline in there, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so he knew the other part. But he wasn't just trying to give the right answer. And you know this if you're a leader. Sometimes people aren't just trying to give the right answer. They're trying to trick you. They're trying to manipulate you. They're trying to trap you. And Jesus looked at him, and here's what he said. He said, let's go to the next screen, please. He says, you have answered correctly. You nailed it, dude. You got it right. An ace for you. He says, you have answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will what? Do this and you will live. He's basically saying, you nailed it. You got it right. It's not just a vertical relationship with God. You ready for this? Listen to me. It's a horizontal relationship as well. That if you are a Christ follower, it's not just about my relationship with God. It's about my relationship with other people. You have to love God. But guess what? Ready for this? You have to love the people around you. That's what he was saying. And so Luke continues and says, but he wanted to justify himself. Wow. He wasn't done. You know why? Because that really wasn't the question. He was pulling a passive-aggressive conversation on Jesus. And so here's the real question that he asked. Let's go to the next one. He says, but he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You know what he's asking? What is the minimal amount of love that I have to give and I have to extend to my neighbor to get God's favor? That's what he's asking. What's the minimum that I have to do in loving another person to get God's favor or blessing in my life? You see, what we need to understand, rarely, if ever, is God specific in this area. He never asks or answers the question, what is the minimal that you and I are called to do in loving other people to make him happy? And Jesus understood exactly what was happening and what was going on. So he didn't answer his question. See, it wasn't a who question, it was a what question. And Jesus basically asked the question, so what does a neighbor look like? Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? And Jesus gave him some pointers. And he gave him really a general answer so that he could understand who his neighbor was. And it was going to rock his world. And it's something that whether you're a Christ follower or not, if you get this, this will change your life. See, the story that Jesus is about to tell is the story of the Good Samaritan. And whether you were raised in church or not, whether you're familiar with the Bible or not, you know about the Good Samaritan. Because we all use that term, don't we? You have a flat tire along the side of the road, and someone stops and helps you. And at dinner that night, when you're with your family, you know what you say? Hey, I had a flat tire. And guess what? A Good Samaritan stopped by and helped me. Or maybe you ran out of gas and you're walking and you got this gas can in your hand and somebody stops by and says, hey, I can help you. I'll take you to the next exit. Jump in the car. And so what happens is you go to work and you're late for work because you ran out of gas. And you go to work and somebody asks you, why are you late? And you say, well, I ran out of gas. But I thank God there was a Good Samaritan. Many people what? Passed me by, but somebody stopped and somebody helped me. And Jesus begins to tell a story. And he's basically saying to this lawyer, you're looking for a minimal requirement and I don't give those. Basically saying, how close can I get to sin without sinning? How can I give God what he wants and really get everything that I want at the same time? And we've all been there, right? I've been there. God, how can I do what you want me to do, but at the same time, do everything that I want to do? That's the question that he's asking. And what we have to realize is this. Whenever you and I ask that question, God goes silent. Because God's not interested in you and I giving minimal effort or minimal of anything. What God says is, I want to inspire you to give your very best. I want to inspire you to give your all, not to give the minimal requirement. And so, how much do I need to do for someone? Well, Jesus begins to tell a story. And he tells a story of the Good Samaritan. And he gives an illustration that impacts our culture 2,000 years later. And this is why, by the way, you should follow Jesus. You see, this is a Christian teaching. And this is why we refer to people as Good Samaritans. And this is why we should embrace this teaching. Because here's the truth, okay? And this is what we believe. Following Jesus will make your life better and make you better at life. And this illustration and this story that Jesus tells is life transforming for every man, every woman, every person who embraces it. And if you'll take this one teaching of Jesus, and if you will apply it to your life, if you will implement it in your life, it will change the feeling about every other person that you come in contact with. And it'll help you to begin to be for all people. It's powerful. And things were just about ready to change as Jesus begins to answer the lawyer. And here's what he says. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Wow. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. What he is doing is he's letting them know who their neighbor is. And who is our neighbor, okay? Our neighbor is this. It's the undeserving. It's the undeserving person. You see, this man was walking the Jericho road. And they knew, everybody in that crowd knew that the Jericho road was a dangerous road. They knew it was where the thieves and the robbers hung out. And that you weren't smart if you traveled that road. And so no doubt somebody probably was thinking, you know what? The guy got what he deserved. How dumb can you be? Are you kidding me? Dude, you need to wise up. You made your bed and now lying to him. Because you know what? You're undeserving. You should have known better never to take that route. And so he's saying, who is your neighbor? The one that you feel is undeserving of you being for them. Y'all okay? He goes on. Here's what he says. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. Who's your neighbor? It's the undeserving one. And it's the overlooked one. It's the overlooked one. They overlooked this guy. See, what you need to realize is they were coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem was the place of worship. Listen to me. Jerusalem was the place of worship. Jericho was the place of work. And so no doubt they had in their mind, you know what? Man, I already did my thing for God. I already visited the synagogue, I already took my lamb, I already took my goat, I already took my sacrifice, I already did my thing for God. I don't have time for this. I don't want to be bothered by this. And so what happened is they overlooked him. It's like you and I saying, hey, you know what, I went to church, I gave in the offering, and you know what, I served, and I've already done my thing, God, you know that. Jesus is saying, let me tell you who your neighbor is. It's the undeserving one. It's the one that you and I have a tendency to overlook. overlook. And then he says this, but a Samaritan. Uh-oh. Now he was messing with them. He was rattling their cage because a Samaritan was somebody that they did not associate with. They didn't speak to, they didn't communicate to or with. It was like, no thank you. And so you could have heard a pin drop, and they started to get their world rocked. And here's what he says. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Wow. Jesus is saying, I'm answering the question who your neighbor is. It's the overlooked one. It's the undeserving one. It's your enemies. It's the people that you can't stand. It's the people that you judge. It's the people that you think, you know what? They're just not good people. It's the Democrat looking at the Republican. Hello. It's the Republican looking at the Democrat. It's the people who have different beliefs, different thinkings, the way in which you and I think. And Jesus is redefining a neighbor. You see, this was racism at its strongest. They could not stand Samaritans. Could not stand. And everybody knew the rules. Everybody knew the boundaries. Everyone followed them. Because we just don't hang out with those people. We just don't associate with those people. But it says here, but the Samaritan took pity on him. Luke continues the story and he says this. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. Wow. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. This deals with the unattractive neighbor. Jesus doesn't go into great detail what this guy looked like, but he probably was in pretty bad shape because they were putting bandages on him. They were putting oil on him. They were doing all of this. And the Good Samaritan probably said, you know what? Man, this is unattractive. Matter of fact, the Levite and the priest did. That's too unattractive. I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to get my robe messed up. I'm pretty clean. I just came from worshiping God. I don't want to do that. And this was wrecking their world. Wrecking their world. Luke goes on to say, the next day. So guess what? The Samaritan hung around. He didn't do the minimal. You okay? He didn't do the minimal. It says the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I returned, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Who is my neighbor? It's the undeserving. It's the overlooked. It's my enemies. It's the unattractive. It's the inconvenient. You see what happens here, and this is what we have to understand, okay? Listen to me, okay? Your neighbor is the person who will put you in a place of things becoming inconvenient. And Jesus was blowing their mind. I'm sure the lawyer said, I wished I would have never asked. I wished I would have never gone there. And Jesus is expanding the definition of a neighbor way beyond the Jewish scripture. You see, the Jewish scripture was, my neighbor was another Jewish person who thought like me, who looked like me, who smelled like me, who ate the things that I ate, drank the things that I drank, went to the places that I went, and Jesus was just blowing them away. And whether or not you are a Christ follower or not, when you hear this story, it causes all of us to hit the pause button and examine our heart. Examine our heart. Examine our prejudice. Who is it that we love and we don't love? Who is it that we're for and we're not for? And Jesus, being the great teacher, I like to say he just drops the plow another foot. And he asks another question. And here's the question that he asked. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Wow. You probably could have heard a pin drop. Because you know what Jesus was really asking? Here's what Jesus was really asking. Which of these three loved the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength by loving the stranger as himself? By loving the undeserving as himself? By loving the overlooked as himself? By loving his enemies as himself? By loving the unattractive as himself? By loving the inconvenient as himself? That's what he was really asking. That's what he was going after. And Jesus is saying to you, and he's saying to me, and he's saying to everyone in his audience that day, we are called to be for everyone. Everyone. The undeserving, the overlooked, the unattractive, the inconvenient, even our enemies. And here's what Luke wraps up with. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Wow. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Wow. No boundaries, no restrictions. We are to be for all people. And here's what you need to realize. In just a few days, catch this, Jesus was going to be the Good Samaritan of the world. For people like you and me who have been robbed, who have been beaten, who have been stripped, and he was going to pour oil on you and me. He was going to pay the price for you and I to be restored and to be healed. And it would cost him more than two nights in a hotel. You see, I've discovered an amazing capacity to convince myself that I'm compassionate when I'm not. You know what I can do? I can throw up pictures on here and make you cry. And you will walk out of here thinking you got a big old heart and that you're compassionate and kind, and you're not. Feelings do not make you and me compassionate. You can weep and boo-hoo all you want. It doesn't make you a compassionate person. It's not what makes you... Being a compassionate person is not determined by how you feel. Being a compassionate person is determined by what you do. Y'all okay? And so what we want to do here at New Point, we want to be for all people. We want to be for Guernsey County. We want to be for Holmes County. We want to be for Wayne County. We want to be for Stark County. We want to be for Tuscarawas County. We want to be for every single county that we have, Coshocton County. We want to be for every single county that we have a campus in. And so I want to share with you just a part of what we're just starting to do, and I want you to be involved in this. And so watch the screen, and then I'll come back.
Your help last year, New Point and Habitat for Humanity partnered to help Silver, Marco, and Stella discover the power of a decent, affordable place to call home. Now, as a community of world changers who have seen the power of decent shelter, we're doing even more to extend God's love and concern right here in our own backyards. We're bringing our whole community together in 2019 to build 3 more homes with 3 more families.
Raising 4 boys, you want nothing but the best for them, and you want a future for them. When they go off to college, this is where they're going to come home to.
I always lived in a poor neighborhood. I would like my kids to play outside. They never played outside, you can put it this way.
I have 4 children that I raised by myself, which is, I'm not the only one. There are all kinds of people all over the world that do it on their own, but it's not easy. The new house, it's going to give us something that's ours.
When I finally get the keys to my home and walk in for the first time, I'm going to know I did it.
Hope is a commodity that's in short supply. Hard work and dedication will pay off.
It will feel definitely like a freedom. I can make the garden I wanted to do. I can build a swing tent. Don't make me cry, please.
Is that incredible or what, huh? That's exciting. That's unbelievable. And guess what? You're invited. You're invited to join us on this journey. Each and every one of you are invited. And I just encourage you to pick up this book today. Okay? Good Faith. This will help you to be able to equip yourself so that when we go into our communities, when we go into our world, that we are equipped to be able to be that good Samaritan and be able to fight through all of those things that you will be confronted with. You see, here's what I want you to know. I don't want you to do this out of guilt. I want you to do this out of the fact that God is for you. And because God is for you, you say, you know what? I want to be for other people. I want other people to know and to experience what I have. I want somebody to know what it's like to have somebody really for them that will leverage everything that they are and everything they have for their good. And so here's the question that I want to end with. What steps can I take to ensure that I embrace compassion as a daily part of how I live it out in my life? Because listen to me, God does not command you and I to feel compassionate. There's no such thing. God calls you and I to be compassionate. And so what can we learn from the Good Samaritan? What's it going to take? Here's what I see in the Good Samaritan, all right? The first thing is this. You're going to have to open up your eyes. You're going to have to open up your eyes. You're going to have to say, God, help me to see as you see. Because listen. When we see as God sees, we will do what God says. God, open up my eyes to see the people around me. Secondly, God, open up my heart. Open up my heart. I want to be compassionate. I want to be generous. I want to be kind. I want to be giving. And that'll never happen unless your heart is open and receptive to what you see. And then open up my hands. Open up my hands. What did the Good Samaritan do? Listen, he went down and picked him up. That would never have happened. He got his hands dirty. Got his hands dirty. Open up my hands. And then open up my wallet. Listen, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost me. It's going to cost us to be able to be that good Samaritan. What did he say? He said, hey, put him in a hotel. Take care of him. I'll be back. Whatever the price is, listen to me, whatever the price is, I'll pay. See, the Good Samaritan is generous. He opened up his wallet, and finally, he opened up his calendar. You know what he did? He made time. He made time. And if you and I are going to be that Samaritan, we have to make time. We have to do that. Yeah, I know you're busy. But are we too busy to do the right thing? For the right reason? With the right attitude? I hope not. I hope not. Now let me close with this, and I want all your attention, okay? Look here, okay? Imagine if our campus in Millersburg would embrace what we just talked about. Imagine if the people in Worcester would embrace this for Wayne County. Imagine what would happen if the people in Canton, at the Canton campus, would embrace this for all of Stark County. Imagine what would happen if everybody at the Dover campus would embrace this for Tuscarawas County. Imagine what would happen if everybody in Coshocton would embrace this for Coshocton County. Imagine what would happen if everybody in Cambridge would embrace this for Guernsey County. Let me tell you what would happen. Our communities would be different. The way we speak to one another, the way we treat one another, the way we respond to one another would be dramatically different. And so I invite you. I'm so excited because you know what? I've been imagining if all of us who call New Point our home, all of us who call Jesus Christ our leader and the forgiver of our sins, if we would realize that he's for us, and in light of that, we're called to be for other people, I'm telling you, we would make a world of difference. And I invite you to join us. Would you pray with me? God, today, you've wrecked our world. And you've taught us who our neighbor is. And it's not the one necessarily who looks like us or smells like us or who does life like us. It's anybody that you have made and created and have given life to. And so, God, I pray today that we wouldn't just feel compassionate, that we wouldn't just be stirred, but that we would be changed. And that we would be very, very intentional as the Good Samaritan in being able to see the brokenness that's all around us. And that we would be dispensers of hope and healing to a world that desperately needs it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week. You can find us on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcast through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.